Trey Williams.
All right, it's me again. Who loves watching themselves on videos? Not me. Well, you saw my family up there. I got a little teary-eyed, actually, because I realized how much I miss my children. Whew, man, they're 8 or 19, 20, and 24. You figure I'm ready to get rid of them, but the longer they stick around, the more I kind of like them. You know, it's I tell parents sometimes when they ask questions about kids and how to raise kids and whatnot, and I say 0 to 12, it's actually pretty easy, but 12 to 24 is pretty hard. I guess the consequences and the decisions and all those things get a little bigger as your kids get older, and so we're real thankful that all of our girls have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God has really done a great thing in our family. And as Pastor mentioned, I'll have an opportunity. You heard some of my testimony. That's the abbreviated version. But I'll try to expound that a little bit for you this evening to let you know how God's worked in my life and in my family's life and kind of how we ended up here and doing what we're doing. I never envisioned myself and being in front of any church when I was growing up. I was raised in a little bit all over Texas. I was born in San Angelo, and then we moved to a little town called Tow, Texas, T-O-W, like tow, but they call it Tow. I don't know why. And then it's next to a place called Lake Buchanan, but some people say Buchanan. We called it Buchanan. I don't know. Don't ask me why. I don't know why we say pecan and not pecan, or I don't know why I say tomato and not tomato. I mean, it's just... We're kind of weird here, down here sometimes, and so I can say that because I'm from Texas. Yep. And so my wife and I are actually, we're from San Marcos. We went to high school together, and she was 15 when we first met. I was 16 and just going on 17, and I was a junior in high school. She was a sophomore in high school, and we dated all through high school. This was a time when we were unsaved, but when I graduated high school, I needed to do something with my life, and being a young man, I wanted to go conquer some mountains or do something. I had to get out of town and have an adventure, I guess. So I decided to join the Navy. Anybody, any Navy folks in here? Navy people? All right. Hoo-ya. See, in Navy we say hoo-ya. In the Marine Corps say hoo-ah, hoo-ah. In Army they hoo-ah. And it's all kinds of weird stuff. But anyway, it's supposed to build some kind of camaraderie. We had, I was a Navy diver, actually. So when I joined... In 97, I went to dive school shortly after boot camp in 1998 and made it through that course. And, you know, that's another part of my testimony as well is just, I guess, the stick-to-itiveness, the drive to make it through something like that. You know, really, I made a determination, and I compare that to a Christian life as well, because when you become a Christian, you got to make a determination. You got to come to a point where you're just not going to quit. You're not going to give up. There's going to be challenges that come along. And just like going through dive school, man, it wasn't easy. It's very physically and even mentally challenged. I realized I should have paid more attention in physics class. Started talking about Boyle's Law and Dalton's Laws and partial pressures and things like that. And I'm just like, man, I have no idea what you're talking about. So it took a little extra effort for me there. And then getting through that. But I made it. There's one determination I always talk about that I made going through dive school. It was one way I'm leaving here. Maybe two ways I'm leaving here. It's going to be either on a stretcher or a body bag. Like, that's the only way I'm leaving. And, you know, as you get saved and you start living your Christian life and you become disciples of Christ, I believe there's one way we should live. And there's only one way we're going to leave and not be Christians and give up our duty as Christians and our obedience as Christians is, man, the Lord's just going to take me out of here because I'm not going to quit. I want to keep going. And that's what I determined there. And shortly after that, me and my wife got married, and then we were married for a short time, probably like almost 5 years before I got saved. We were stationed in Washington State, and then we got transferred. We had a daughter there, born in the Bremerton Hospital there, and then we got transferred to Italy. So that was cool. I mean, so funny story there too. I could tell you, like, we call them sea stories. I could tell you sea stories all day long. But I'll try to stay on track here. We went to a little island called La Maddalena, Italy. It's next to a place called Sardinia. So if you go to Rome and you go to Italy and look at the boot, and you find Rome, and you look left out in the Mediterranean, you're going to see an island called Sardinia. You're going to see a smaller island called La Maddalena. That's actually where we lived. And there was a ship there called the USS Emery S. Land. And I was one of the divers on board. We were diving on all the submarines and surface ships that were coming over just after September 11, 2001. So it was a busy time, and I spent a lot of time away from home and a lot of time under the water helping ships stay afloat and stay clean and stay repaired so they could go off and do the mission they were called to do. And then it was while I was in Italy that actually I got saved. As you heard in the video, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I maybe have remember going to church like once that I can actually remember. And my parents didn't take me to church. We didn't really talk about God much. I didn't read the Bible. I think they were around, and I may have tried to read it, but it didn't mean a whole lot to me, and nobody was really guiding me through that process then. And so I didn't know much, but I did believe in God. Telling Pastor earlier during lunch is, even as a kid, it was unmistakable to me that God existed. I knew God was there. I could look around and experience things in my life, and I knew God was real. I remember scaring myself to death as being a kid. I don't know why I was thinking this deeply, but I remember laying there thinking about God, and like, where did God come from? Like, who made God? And if somebody made God, like, who made that person, or who made that God? Or like, and I mean, even I know I wasn't realizing it at the time, but I was figuring something out. Which God, if there is a God, He has to be eternal, and one God that we serve eternally existed before time. And so that would scare me to death, honestly. And I'd get these cold chills and be like, okay, let's think about something else, you know. But I remember thinking that when I was a kid. So I believed in God for a long time. I just didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know what He did for my sin. And so I lived life the best I thought I could. I mean, it's what we were doing at the time. We just thought, hey, if I live a good life, maybe someday when we get to heaven, my good will outweigh my bad. And let me tell you, there's a lot of people around you that think the same thing. They think one day their good is going to outweigh their bad. They're going to be able to stand before God and just say, you know, hey, God, remember all the good things I did, right? But it's just not going to measure up to His holiness, right? And that's what we're here for. And that's what I was going to talk about tonight is the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We have a command to go. Well, it was during that time in Italy that I really kind of saw a fork in the road, if you will. And I saw the direction I was going, and I'm going, it doesn't seem like a good direction. And I saw another direction. And I said, you know, I don't know where that's going to lead, but I think it's better than this one. I can pretty much tell you for sure it's going to be better than this one I'm on. And so I sat there one night, and God was just stirring my heart. And I said, God, if You're real, I know it sounds kind of weird, right? God, if You're real, I mean, I believed He was real. But you know how it is. You have your doubts and all these kind of things. But I questioned. God's above that. And I said, God, if You're real, I need help. And that was really the extent of my prayer. And no lie, like I can't remember exactly what it was a day or 2 days later, but a guy I worked with who I didn't know was a Christian at the time came up to me and started talking to me about God and the Bible. And somehow I ended up in the Bible, and I was reading in Acts about a good old guy named Saul. Who knows Saul? Not the king, but the previous Paul, right? I was reading about Saul. Man, Saul was rounding up Christians, and Saul was thrown in prison, and Saul was consenting unto their death. And I'm going, man, this guy's, he wants Christians to die. But then something miraculous happened. He became one. And I was like, well, that's weird. I've been saying that a lot today. Me and my wife are laughing. We're looking at signs while driving through town. Well, that's weird. We see something on the road. Well, that's weird. Like, we got to stop saying that's weird today. Here I am again. That's weird. But I saw the life of Paul, and I'm going, that's weird. Like, he hated them. He wanted them to die. He thought he was doing God's service. Well, then he becomes one of them. I mean, that struck a chord in my heart. And I knew I needed to get to the bottom of it. So I went home. I told my wife, I was like, hey, we got to go to church. I got to get this figured out. So we went to a little base chapel there in Italy. And there happened to be a Baptist chaplain there, which if you know anything about the Navy and chaplains, there's not a whole lot of Baptist chaplains out there. And so it was just kind of miraculous that a Baptist chaplain was there. Anyway, he was preaching that morning we went, And I don't remember what he preached, but I do remember at the end of the service, he did an altar call. He said, if anyone wants to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, then you can come forward at this time. And I remember sitting in the back, this is before I knew what a back row Baptist was. And I remember gripping that seat in front of me and like just white knuckling that thing, going, you know, knowing exactly what I needed to do, but being afraid to do it. And so looking around, I'm working up the courage, and finally I knew what I needed to do, and I let go of the seat and I went forward, and there were some people up there to help me walk through the scriptures, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior that day. And gosh, I mean, it's not a lie when I tell you this. My life changed 180 degrees. And it wasn't like I was trying really to in my own power to change. It's just I wanted to change. I didn't want to do the things that I was doing before. I didn't have a desire to do those things I was doing before. And God just miraculously just worked in my heart in such a way so quickly that my wife saw this and she's like, what is going on? You know, when I came, we kind of laugh about it now. And I went home and said, hey, we need to go to church. She's like, yeah, you're right, you do. Because I was that guy. I mean, if you know anything about Navy Special Forces or Military Special Forces, it's not the most docile group of people, right? And so language, you know, cussing like a sailor, there's a reason they say that, right? I mean, it's true. So you know, God just, he really worked miraculously on my heart. And I got saved and I started reading the Bible. And I tell people, it was like when I would ride to work on a ferry to get to the ship, and I brought my Bible. Sorry, I was using the NIV at the time. I didn't know. I upgraded. I remember reading the Bible on the way into work, and just thinking to myself, wow, this makes so much sense. I found it. This is it. Like, I can stop looking. I found what I was looking for. And I tell people, like, it's like I was living in black and white before, and then I was living in color. Like, everything just started making sense in life. And I'm like, this is amazing. And before I even knew what outreach was or discipleship was, I tell people, I was like, I felt like it's like the woman at the well, you know, come meet a man that knows all I ever did. And that's what I was telling people. I was like, hey, I got saved and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and you can too. And I didn't know we were supposed to be doing that. God just worked in my heart to do that. And it was just amazing when I think back on it, what a miraculous change that was and what a desire God gave me. Not only just to stop doing the things I shouldn't be doing, but to do the things I should be doing. He gave me a desire to do that. He gave me a desire to read the Bible. He gave me a desire to talk to him, to pray to him. He gave me a desire to tell other people about him and who he is and what he can do, what he did for us, and how he can make your life so much different. And that was just astounding to me and amazing to me. And very, very early in my Christian life, I knew somehow that this is what I wanted to do. And this was so important that I needed to do this with my life. Well, fast forward just a little bit. Now, keep in mind, my wife wasn't saved yet, and I was sharing the gospel at home with her. And we had moved now from, we had another child, so now we have two. We had one in Washington. We had one in Italy, and that's a whole other story. My wife had... Toughest lady I know. She had three children, not a drop of medication, and one was in an Italian hospital, and there's like no air conditioning. It was the middle of summer, and it was not great conditions. I didn't have a shower, for crying out loud, and it was like very rural conditions. I mean, if something bad happened during the pregnancy, they would have to do a medevac flight somewhere, and try to save her. So, but we just tried it anyway. We figured, hey, the first one went okay. I think the second one will go okay, too. I don't know. We were young and dumb. But we had our second child there, and then we moved. Actually, we got stationed in Ingleside. You guys know where Ingleside is? It's right down the road. Yeah. So all the minesweepers and mine hunters were down there on Ingleside, so I was diving on those. And We had our third child here as well at the military hospital in Corpus. And so at least she's the only one. She's like, oh, yeah, now I'm the only one who can say I'm a Texan. That's what she tells us all the time. Now that I know we're back in Texas. My oldest daughter is trying doing all she can. She's like, I can't wait to get to Texas. Like, she's ordering, like, boots and cowboy hats. And I'm like, slow down. Slow your roll. My other one's actually like, yeah, I got one up on you because I'm from Texas. I was born there. So it's kind of funny with my kids. But we moved to Ingleside, and we found a church in Portland. It's not there anymore. It was called New Community Church. It was a church plant as well. And we grew a lot there. We didn't know much. Again, it's what I needed at the time. God was good and gracious with us. I had a zeal and I had a passion, but I didn't know a lot about church. And so I walked in with flip-flops and shorts and a T-shirt. You know, I was like, and my NIV Bible said, hey, I'm here ready for church. And so they were good and gracious with us. And they helped mentor us along the way, and I got opportunities to teach the Bible. It's what I wanted. It's what I wanted to do. My wife, about 8 months later, she got saved, and so we got. I tell people she got saved, and then we got baptized together in a trailer park swimming pool somewhere in Portland, Texas. I don't remember where it is now, but I guess it doesn't matter. We immersed. Okay, we went all the way under. But. She got saved, and God was just continuing to. I had this zeal that just wouldn't go away. I had a desire. Does anybody know? Ray Comfort. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you feel about him or not. I'm not sure how your pastor feels about it. I didn't vet this before I talked about it from the pulpit, but I started watching his videos, and man, I love what he does. I love the way he reaches people for the Lord, and just he has a great method. And just to share the gospel. And so I started watching. I was consuming all those things and watching that. And my pastor gave me an opportunity to teach a class on how to witness and the gospel to people. And so I enjoyed that immensely. And I went to him one day and I was like, hey, pastor, I think I want to do ministry full time. And he's like, okay, hold on a second. He's like, I mean, he kind of discouraged me, to be honest with you. But looking back on it, I think it was a good thing because I didn't know what I needed. And he'd been through some of that stuff before, and he could speak from experience. And he said, you know, going into full-time ministry is not as easy as you think it is. There's a lot of challenges involved, and you're young, and you haven't been saved very long. He said, I think you just need to stay in church. I think you just need to continue to serve and raise your family and, you know, do home devotions, and we'll give you opportunities to teach and just grow. And then maybe one day, you know, God will call you into full-time ministry. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, you got a guy here ready to go in full-time ministry, and you're going to say no? That just blew my mind. And so I was like, okay. So I went home, and I said, Lord, I'm just going to do my best to serve you in the areas you put me, wherever you put me, and I'm just going to be faithful. I'm just going to be faithful wherever I am, and I'm going to look for opportunities to serve. And whatever they let me do, I'll do it. When the doors are open, I'll be there. And that was just the commitment I made to my family, to the Lord. And so, sorry. Gets me a little emotional sometimes. But God blessed. And I just served. So I served in Texas. And then towards the end of my tour in Texas, I got an opportunity to get stationed in Hawaii. And you're like, yeah. It's actually good. I love Hawaii. It's a great place to be. And but I didn't know. I had three children now and then some school-age children. And schools in Hawaii, to be honest with you, they're not the best. Not, you know, highly rated on the education scale. And so I was asking somebody I worked with. I said, hey, do you know any good maybe Christian schools or somewhere I could send my kids to go to school? And he says, I know this church there. It's a independent Baptist church. They have a school that your kids can go to. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. And so I went there, and that was my first taste of independent Baptist church. And I didn't know what it meant. I honestly didn't know what it meant to be a Baptist at that point in time. I didn't know the difference between what a Protestant is and what a Baptist is. Didn't know much even about the Protestant Reformation, to be honest with you. But through discipleship and through mentoring and through just training in your local church, which is the way I think it should be. I mean, people always ask, did you go to college? Did you go to Bible college and those kind of things, right? Well, I always ask people, what do you think they did to the first 1,800 years of our church? Right? They trained them in the local church, right? And so, yes, I do have Bible college education, but I don't think it's that important. And, you know, you see a lot of kids coming out of Bible college these days, and, I mean, they get good education, but there's a lot of things you just can't train for in Bible college. And that's the place you're supposed to get that is your local church. And so I just encourage you, serve, look at all the opportunities you can to serve here, and just be involved in everything you can be, and learn everything you can. And you have a lot of knowledge and experience, I guarantee it, in this room, and I'm sure some lifetime Christians that can help mentor you and help you, and just get in their back pocket and learn everything they know. And that's going to give you a way better education sometimes than just sitting in the classroom learning a few books of the Bible. And so that's, I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble, Pastor. but what I'm trying to say is just be faithful. Be faithful. And so we went to, I was just faithful all those years. And we went to Hawaii. I was faithful there. I learned. I actually bought some slacks and some dress shoes. I mean, are you proud of me or what? And then what you might know is Hawaiian shirts, we call aloha shirts in Hawaii. So it's a tip. If you go to Hawaii and you buy a shirt, like a flowery shirt, and you wear it around, and don't say, look at my Hawaiian shirt, because that's a dead giveaway. You're not from around there, right? And so say, I bought an aloha shirt, right? You got your aloha shirt. So I'll help you out, a little tip for you if you go. But I bought an aloha shirt. That's what we wear to church. You saw me in the video. We wear short sleeve, you know, aloha shirts there and slacks and shorts. So that's my first taste. So God knew what I needed, you know. He kind of just helped me along as I went. And then we went to San Diego, and I was part of a church there. And then they wore suits. And so I was like, man, I got to buy a suit, because to usher there, you had to wear a suit and tie. And I was like, okay, you know, how can I deny the Lord ushering if I'm not willing to buy a suit and tie? That sounds ridiculous. So I bought a suit and tie, and I started wearing it then. I was like, how do you tie these things, you know? And so I had to figure that out. You know, in the Navy, we have ties. I was lazy and bought one of those clip-ons. You could just slide on. We do have the neckerchiefs you wear, right? Oh, whoops. We have the neckerchiefs you wear, but you just tie a square knot. I know lots of knots. You know, in the Navy, you know lots of knots, but I can tie a square knot. But, you know, tying your double Windsor, I wasn't aware with that one yet. So I learned how to do that. And then, so I just served faithfully there. And God just, I mean, he gave me a Sunday school class. I was greeting. I was teaching. I had opportunities to preach. I worked in the sound booth. I counted money. I mean, I don't think there's a job that a church does that I haven't done at one point in time or another. And so one day, my pastor there, this is just a little bit before I was hitting my 20-year mark in the Navy, he said, have you ever considered full-time ministry? And I said, well, kind of. And he said, here. And I said, well, I mean, I don't know. I never thought about it. You know, like, I just doing what I'm doing. I'm plugging away. I got a mission now. I'm just serving the Lord where I am. And I didn't really think about it. Me and Lee had talked about missions before at home. That was actually, it's been on our heart for a long time, is to be somehow related to missions. We didn't know what that looked like. You know, to us as maybe traveling around helping missionaries. We never pictured ourselves as missionaries. I mean, it was just one of those things that was out there for us. We just didn't think it was achievable or something that God would use in our lives. But as we continued to just work and church and just labor and love for the Lord, he just kind of just brought that along and opened doors of opportunity. And then we had a choice, right? We had a choice to make. You know, do you live this comfortable life that you have, or do you serve in full-time ministry? And I do make a contrast there, because when I had an opportunity to go full-time ministry, I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord leading me full-time ministry. And my wife was like, I don't know about that. Like, so in the Navy, or in the military in general, I don't know if you know ranks, but you have usually E1 through E9, that's enlisted ranks, and then the officers go O1, typically through 07 or somewhere around there, 08. They'll be like your generals and admirals. I was enlisted, and I started as an E1. In 17 years, I made it to E9. I was a master chief. And in diving, I was a master diver. I had the highest qualification of diving that you can have in the Navy. And I was leading teams all over the world and all kinds of missions, salvage missions. We did weapons demolition, expeditionary warfare, closed circuit diving, hard hat diving, mixed gas diving, helium oxygen mixtures. Like, we were doing all that. And man, I had my road was paved in gold. I could have stayed and been just fine in the Navy. And I was making very secure, and I was making very good money. And so I had a choice to make. Man, just keep going down this road where I got it made, or to give all that I've been working for the last 20 years and then serve the Lord full time in Christian ministry. Well, that was a tough choice. I mean, it was, but it wasn't, right? I knew it's one of those things, again, you kind of know the answer, but it takes you a minute because, and this is maybe where I can throw a Bible verse. I talked this morning in our Sunday school class about Luke 9:23. It's always been a great verse that I've tried to share with people. That's really just worked on my heart a lot. It says in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, this is Jesus speaking. He said to them all, and this is disciples he's talking to, if any man will come after me, it says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, denying yourself is hard. Denying, you know this. I know you know this. Denying yourself is hard. Because what do we do? What do we do every year at the beginning of the year? We say, January 1st, I'm gonna get in shape. Right? And we get the gym membership. January, man, we're there. January 2nd, we're on that machine, we're on the elliptical, man. We're like, go, yeah. You know, we're listening to Eye of the Tiger. I mean, we're just like, we're gonna be rocky when this is over. And like March 1st, you're sitting on your couch eating potato chips. You know, like something happened along the way, right? Because, man, you see something on TV, you're like, I want to look like that. Well, it takes discipline. It takes work. It takes denying yourself to get to that point, right? You have to deny yourself a lot of things. Man, I like ice cream. And if I know it's in the freezer, guess what? I'm going for the ice cream. Right? Like, if I don't want to eat it, I don't buy it and put it in the freezer because I know it's there because I don't have the discipline to not go in there and get me a bowl of ice cream if I know it's there. And it takes discipline to get the things that you want, right? All good things in life, it takes work. It takes self-denial. It takes discipline, right? And living the Christian life, being a disciple, it takes discipline. You got to be disciplined in life. You got to learn to deny yourself, right? And so when that fork in the road comes for you and God gives you a decision to make, what decision are you going to make? Are you going to be able to deny yourself? Are you going to be like, God, that's too hard. I got to give up too much. And what did Jesus do? He gave all. He gave all for you and for me. Is there anything more that we shouldn't or couldn't give? I mean, the way I look at salvation, there's nothing better than that. We can't top that. Like when you got saved, like you reached the pinnacle. There's nothing better that can be done for you. Like he paid it all for you. And if nothing else good happens in your life, guess what? You're saved. And when you die, you get to go to heaven for eternity and be with the Lord. Like there's no better gift that can be given than that. And the least that we could do is to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. And so that's kind of how the Lord led me to these decisions. And can I tell you one more thing? Hebrews 11:6. And you probably, many of you probably already have this memorized. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, we want things in our Christian life. We want rewards. We want good things. We want blessings. But a lot of times we want these blessings, but we don't want to do what it takes to get the blessings, right? We expect the blessings first, and then we're going to praise God for the blessings. Well, how about you praise God and be obedient first, and then God brings the blessings? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? And what is faith? Well, faith is something you can't see, right? Faith is something that, that's why you say, walk by faith and not by sight. I can't see it. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen when we get to McAllen area. I don't know. But I'm walking by faith. And can I tell you that throughout the decisions that I've had to make along the way, that decisions of faith, God has blessed every single time. He's blessed it every single time. I worried about money. Well, my wife was worried about money too. She's like, how are we going to pay for the bills? Are we going to be able to keep the house? Are we going to sell the cars? Like, I'm thinking, hey, I'll ride a bike to work. You know, we'll move closer and we'll get an apartment, those kind of things. Can I tell you, when I retired, I ended up making more money than I did when I was active duty. God just said, you know what? Don't even worry about that. Like, I'm not saying money is a huge thing and I wouldn't do it before without it, but he just blessed us, you know? It wasn't without work. I mean, just in like, no money tree grew in the backyard and we just started picking from it or anything like that. My wife started working, she was working. I got a second job, part-time job, and you know, we made some wise investments, but God just blessed. And he brought the things that we were worried about. He said, I'll take care of that. Why? Because first I took a step of faith. And then God blessed, right? And every time God has done that, he's just been faithful and he's blessed. And I can encourage you with that. Hey, if you get to that fork in the road and you're going, man, I don't know, take that step of faith. You know, if God's calling you to do something, do it. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hardships. It doesn't mean things are going to be so easy. I mean, we take the example of the prophets and the disciples of the Bible. Well, let me tell you, if you start reading the Bible long enough, you're going to find out, like, man, most of these guys, like, suffered, they died, you know, you're like, I don't know if I want to do that or not, right? But can I tell you, it's worth it. And again, I was talking to Pastor to do it. You come to a point in your Christian life, you usually come to a point in your Christian life and you're going to go, is it worth it to do this? Is it worth it to give up this? Is it worth it to serve in this capacity? Well, I think, and I know, I can tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Somebody might say, well, what if you go down there and try to plant a church and you fail? Well, I don't know how I could fail. Because let's say one person comes to know the Lord. I consider that a success. So it's worth it. It's worth it to them because now they get to live eternity in heaven, right? And when you're a part of that, there's no better feeling. There's nothing better. Man, I just know the feeling of the rejoicing in my heart when I get to lead somebody to the Lord and now they're trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's the peak, it's the pinnacle of joy that you can feel in your heart. And it gives you, I think, a little taste of heaven of maybe what it's going to be like to be with the Lord when you actually are part of that process. You're like, man, there's something there. The Spirit just works in you such a way. And it gives you such a passion. You know, I hate to make a silly analogy, but it's kind of like golf. It's like, you know, you do golf, you get so frustrated sometimes because you go out to play golf and you hit bad shots. You hit hooks and you'll hit slices and you'll hit the ground. And man, you're like, man, I'm about to give this golf game up, right? You're about ready to throw your clubs in the creek. And then you hit that one shot and it bounces up and it hits the green and it starts rolling and boop, and it goes right in the cup. You're like, all right, I guess I'll keep playing. You know, it's kind of like that. Just be faithful. Make those decisions. Trust the Lord and be obedient and he'll bless. He'll bless and trust. It's worth it. Well, let's close in a word of prayer tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Pastor and church, for everything. And I wanted to make sure that I thanked you guys. I got a little off my game there, and I wanted to make sure, though, that I let you guys know how much I appreciated and being here today and meeting all of you. Everybody was so kind and warm and friendly, and I would love to call this my church home. And so you can be rest assured that you're in the right place. And everybody, your pastor has taken great care of us, took us to lunch today, and you guys have given us gifts and hotel. I mean, this is like first class treatment here. So thank you so much, and just pray for us as we're gone. You know, there's prayer cards on the back table there before we go, and grab one of those prayer cards, and when you think about us, just pray for us. There's nothing more we're going to need. Obviously you can't do anything without money, but there's nothing more you need than prayer, because when God's in it, it doesn't matter. Everything else is taken care of. So if God's in it, he'll bring everything that we need to get the job done. So we ask that you just pray for us. So thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for tonight. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this time together. And God, you're so good to us. And I just feel so blessed to be here, part of Bible Believers Baptist Church. Thank you for everyone here tonight, for everyone that calls you Lord and Savior. Father, I do pray if there's anyone here that hasn't trusted Lord Jesus as their Savior tonight and repented of their sin, I pray tonight, Lord, that they would do that. There's no more important decision that we could ever make in this world than to put our trust and faith in you. And Father, I pray for those that are Christians tonight that they'll be inspired, not by me, but what you've done through me and what you've done through so many others, Lord. It's a miracle. You died on the cross for our sins and you saved us. Father, help us give all for you and for the others so they may know who Jesus Christ is. They may be saved as well. Lord, I pray you bless this church as we go. Help many people be saved because of this ministry here. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.